Welcome all you motherfuckers to another episode of the Epic Film Ghouls podcast. That laugh, that sounds so familiar. It's like a presence I've not felt since,
I don't know, a couple weeks ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, Justin has returned from California. I am pretty sure that he would be a sex slave in Stephanie Tanner's dungeon by now, but he made his way back to us. Justin, we've missed you these past couple of weeks. We had a couple of absolutely amazing guest hosts. Thank you, Dina, and thank you, JD, for filling in. Dina did a fantastic job kicking off horror season, and then JD and I did absolutely nothing horror related. Hey, man, we had to review the original Blade Runner, man. We had to talk about it, but you've got so many stories, and I know you already told some up in our pre-roll for our patrons, but I don't know, man. Just throw some good California stories at me, man. How the fuck are you? How have you been? I mean, aside from when you called into the show, I do appreciate that.
I sucked a dick.
No, just we know you did that in California, but what else did you do while you were there, man?
Oh, man. I mean, I did so much. It was a family vacation, but I still made sure to do as many film-related things as possible. We obviously were in L.A., Hollywood for the first couple of days we were there. And, you know, I saw Chinese theater. We hiked up on the mountain to get as close as we could to the Hollywood sign. You know, all the regular touristy type things. We walked around Sunset. And for me, the thing I looked at the most forward to was being in California during October, because in South Pasadena and in Los Angeles, there are the filming locations for John Carpenter's Halloween. And for me, that was something that I really, really had a great time doing. We went in and just walked around each location, took photographs. And yes, I did actually act out a few scenes from the film, like for real. The funny thing was, most of the locations for John Carpenter's Halloween are in South Pasadena. So we went out there. The Myers house is out there. Laurie Strode's house is out there. The iconic hedge that the shape comes out from out of and scares Laurie and then goes back behind. That's all there in South Pasadena. But then while I'm there, I'm looking at the list. I'm like, okay, I've hit this up. What's next? But the Doyle house and Lindsay Wallace's house, you know, the houses at the end, Nick, where he's chasing her back and forth between the houses and all that stuff. That was in,
you know, we'll pretend LA. I know what you're talking about.
Well, you've seen the film.
I don't know what the fuck those houses are called.
But either way, so the ending of the film, like where the whole ending, you know, where they're both babysitting.
Right, yeah.
That those locations to do were less than 2 miles from our hotel. So it was like one day after we did a lot of stuff, you know, constantly exhausted from all the stuff we were doing. And it was late. It was at night. And I had a couple beers and I'm like, babe, I really want to go see those houses at night. And just like walk the streets at night and just kind of soak it in. So I did that. So I drove down there. There were like nobody on the streets. And I like played John Carpenter's Halloween score on my phone. Like, blared it. Legit, man. Ding, 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 ding. And just walked and took photos and acted out a couple scenes. And it was a blast, man. Like that for me was so special because ever since I was a young kid, that's one of the most influential films for me. And I got to like see each location, lots of friendly people. Like I met the owner of the Lindsay Wallace house. He was outside smoking a cigar in the morning because I went back to take photos in front of it. Obviously, you're not going to get good shit at night. But, you know, he's telling me people show up all the time and blah, blah, blah. So those for me, doing them in October with like a nice crisp breeze in the air, it felt like fall. And yes, there were leaves on the ground. Those were awesome. They were really just fantastic. Of course, I also posted the page. I saw the Nightmare on Elm Street house, Nancy's house from that film, which is only a couple blocks from those Halloween locations. And on our way out of LA and on our way to San Francisco, we randomly stopped at the Poltergeist house, which is in Simi Valley. So a lot of film locations, Mrs. Doubtfire house in San Francisco. And yes, Stephanie Tanner's house. That's right. The full house, and Dude, I mean, that location was nuts because we decided to walk to it from our hotel. Like, we wanted to take a nice walk in the city and actually get a huge workout because those hills are so steep, dude. Legit, I'm like, my heart was about to stop. But no, there people, when you're there, 10 or 15 people showed up. Like, cars would just pull up and stop in the middle of the road in traffic, jump out and take selfies in front of that house. That's how popular it was. I never saw anything like it before. And this guy that didn't speak English was like, could you take my photo in front of the house? So I'm like, okay, dude, I'll do that. And then I took a bunch, and then I started walking away, and he goes, oh, no, no. Like, and he looked at me again like he didn't like the ones that I took. So, like, okay, dude, sorry. I've got other stuff to do, so.
You know, piece of shit.
But it was, you know, a long story short, lots of stuff to happen while we were out there. We saw Yosemite, Griffith Observatory, beautiful things, great family vacation. But yeah, the film locations for me were things that I always had on my goal list. So it was a blast, man. I'm glad to be back, though. I think it was by the end of it, I was kind of like missing the dogs, missing being home, maybe possibly missing you, maybe a slight sliver of missing Loy sauce. I don't know. You never know. But
everybody loves the sauce. Don't you dare.
Loy sauce.
Yeah.
That's right, Loy sauce. You fucking tell them. But yes, it's, you know what, it's great to have you back, and it's great to see all the different images you posted up all over our social media, over in the dumpster, and of course on the actual Just Epic Film Guys page. So yeah, dude, it must have been a trip of a lifetime for you, which is great. I mean, I see, when I go to California, like, the last things on my mind will be visiting the Halloween house or the Poltergeist house or any of that kind of stuff. But that's, you know what, you bleed, your blood just runs like slimy, like horror red. You know, it is October, Justin.
Exactly.
And yeah, it is horror month. And since it's horror month, Justin, it's time this week, Justin, for our Halloween horror challenge check-in.
It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for your horror challenge weekly check-in. Think you can scare up the courage to watch 10 horror films? Pleasant screams.
Oh, and yes, Justin, I'm going to get this out of the way very, very quickly. I am still standing super strong right now. Two films in to the challenge: An American Werewolf in London and creepy fuck Christopher Lloyd alien movie. I am not a serial killer. I can remember less the title than I can creepy fuck alien Christopher Lloyd movie. So I unfortunately have been insanely busy with everything that I have going on. I do want to try to check out at least a couple more horror films before the end of the month. Of course, we'll be seeing Jigsaw, but horror month will be over by the time that episode lands. That episode will land like our first one in November, because that releases on like the last Thursday in the month. So I know we'll both be seeing that movie, so expect a full review on the podcast. But Justin, I know your California vacation had to set you behind a bit, but what horror films have you started cramming in after you got home?
Well, dude, I'll admit this was very hard for me. While I was on vacation, we stayed at many different hotels. Not one of those hotels, Nick, had like a channel to watch movies on. None of them. I remember when we stayed in Mariposa, our 2 days when we were going to go to Yosemite, all they had was TBS, and all TBS was playing was Modern Family, which is fine. But it was like, that's all they were playing over and over again. I had no opportunity to watch any horror movies at all the entire trip. So other than that little tidbit that I shared with you prior to the show that only our Patreon members will hear, yeah, I totally missed out in a big way.
Man.
But as soon as I got back, my first day back, I was there at Alamo Drafthouse for the Secret Society of Filmmasons presentation of Lamberto Bava's Demons, one of my favorite Italian horror films. And Loy Sauce, though sick and about to die, he hosted it. It was a blast. A lot of people showed up. And since then, it was actually almost a couple days in a row at Alamo. So Thursday night, I did The Lost Boys at Alamo. And then on Saturday, I did, yes, American Werewolf in London. And then last night, yeah, I've got a little film I'm going to talk about in a few minutes here. Happy Death Day, which actually just took the box office by storm. A movie made for $5 million. And it grossed almost over $30 million at the U.S. box office.
Damn.
And for me, That's the sign I want to see, Nick. We had already talked about this on the show a couple weeks back with it being a blockbuster smash. I'm happy to see horror really killing
it. It's still finishing in the top five of box office, too. It's still raking in the cash, man.
It's still, dude, it's still playing. I mean, I walked through the theater yesterday, and people are still going in to watch it. It's literally that movie that's just going to keep on going. So, hey, man, I'm catching up. And another movie, which I'm probably not going to get the chance to talk about tonight all that much, but I watched right before we recorded Mick G's The Babysitter. You heard it right, Nick. I just said Mick G. Remember that movie, Terminator Salvation? Well, I saw a lot of people, believe it or not, man. It's a Netflix exclusive movie. I saw a lot of people on Instagram and on Facebook as well, like really professing their love for it. And I was like, I've never heard the words, the name Mick G and the word good in the same sentence my entire life. So I had to see if it was true. And, you know, honestly, pleasant surprise, fun time. I know we don't have all that much time for me to gush about it, but I was shocked. I mean, yes, it looked like a Mick G movie, but it was an absolute blast to watch. And I know your wife had commented, Ada said that she was about to watch it sometime this week, and I highly recommend it. It's a fun time.
Ooh. And, you know, over into the Hopester's dumpster, and everybody, please keep checking in your picks. It's absolutely great to see everybody checking in their picks over there. Scott LaVar is just destroying everybody. He's already over 31 films for the month. I'm pretty sure by the time this lands, he'll probably be at like 70. I guess. I don't know. I don't even know. Jared Taylor's hot on his heels. I noticed Loy Sauce checking in with what, Halloween 5 and Halloween 6, I think. Maybe
4 and 5. Yep, that's because I don't know the numbers. We're going to be doing something a little bit special. That's definitely going to be happening. So prepare for that by the end of the month. We're going to make that.
A B-side?
Yeah, it's been way too long, man. But we're working on it because Loy Sauce has never sat down and watched all the Halloween sequels through and through. So we're doing it, man. Except for the zombie films. We're keeping those out because they don't deserve my breath, man. I'm not going to talk about it. Not doing it.
No, please, for the love of Christ, just I'll put diarrhea noises in there when I edit the B-side together. That can just be your review of the Rob Zombie.
Dude, that's all you have to do. Go record yourself taking a really wet shit, like one of those hangover shits that just like all liquid, and you can just use that. That'll be the episode. That's all you need to play the entire time.
Oh my god, but yes, everybody over there that's continuing to check in movies. I know Paul from the Countdown is still taking part. A number of other people. Thank you guys all for taking part and for checking in. And I know a lot of people did vote. I posted a poll over there. Get Out by far, I'm pretty sure, won that poll for horror movies for me to check out for the month. I will promise to try to get one or two of those.
Get Out. You're gonna watch
for the end of the month.
You have to.
I promise I will try as hard as I can to get some of those in for the end of the month as well. Plus Jigsaw. I haven't even watched like any of the Saw movies or anything, like any of the stuff that I normally even do for Halloween, for horror season. I haven't had the chance. This electrical skills class has been kicking my ass, and I'm just, oh man, just a busy, busy, busy little bee, man. Ah.
In a few minutes, bitch.
Yes, Tommy. our full retrospective of The Room is going to be coming. I don't know. We should earmark like sometime like the end of November to try to get that done. We'll try to get that guy done. And then, of course, we'll be watching The Disaster Artist. I've got that Citizen Kane commentary done. I just haven't done anything with it yet because, again, busy. And we're going to be recording a Shutter Island spotlight, not this coming weekend, but next weekend with Jason Michael. Which is going to be really, really great. And I'm not sure who else is actually going to be taking part in that. But it's going to be really great. Leonardo DiCaprio, of course, Martin Scorsese film that I am a huge fan of. So I cannot wait to watch that film again and talk about it in Spotlight. And then our patrons and our fans over there in the dumpster need to get on your ass about, you know, scheduling the Roadhouse Spotlight so I can shit on it appropriately.
I know that Winners showed some interest as well.
Oh, we know Winners is interested in it.
But of course, that's just a given. But I was hoping that what we could do is, you know, it's Halloween time, but you have to go back to the Celtic roots of Halloween and go back to Samhain. And when they would, you know, try to bring back spirits, they would try to hail spirits from the dead. And what I was hoping was to do like a ceremony for Samhain to celebrate it and actually try to call on Patrick Swayze's ghost, like in the movie Ghost, and then to kind of maybe see if he would speak on the show and be part of it. It's entirely possible if you believe in like that spiritual kind of, you know, well, you know, some people, they do. Maybe we could summon Patrick Swayze's ghost.
Can we just try to summon Whoopi Goldberg instead?
I'm sure she would be like less than $5,000 to be on the show.
Is Dustin Diamond more affordable yet? Because as soon as we can get him in here for like a half-eaten thing of McDonald's small fries, we're getting him.
You just got to make sure he doesn't pull a jackknife on anybody else again. Like, next thing you know, he's going to be, you know, pumping gas at a gas station. Some young little girl is going to be like, "Hi, I saw Saved by the Bell for the first time. I'd really like your autograph." And he'll be like, "Get the fuck away from me, bitch, or I'll cut your fucking throat." That's Screech now, man. That's who that dude is, you know? So
it's funny because in EFG history for this week, you'll get to hear a clip where you start talking about Saved by the Bell, and I, of course, call you to task. And I think Ashley on Rabbit Ears just did a full look back on Saved by the Bell, and I said I can hear Justin's tears hitting his cheeks from here because he didn't get the chance to do it with you. And then I was like, I really wish I would have been able to do it because I would have just shit all over it the entire time.
Of course you would. Of course you would. You don't like, you know, that cheesy goodness of the 90s. I love it. I'll just soak myself in it every day before I go to work.
Yeah, you soak yourself in something, all right. I'm not even going to push the button, but you know what my finger's hovering over right now.
Yeah.
All right, well, Justin, it's been a few weeks for you. I don't know if you remember how to do this segment, but there's a little something that we do here on the Epic Film Guys every single week. No, it's not Epic Previews. Thumbs of the Week? No, not that.
No, not that one. No.
Hmm.
I think if I recall.
You must be kidding, aren't you?
All right. Tommy was so fed up with our bullshit.
Yeah. I think it's that thing that we like to do. We call.
What are you drinking?
I'm back. You can rally. Woo! Give me a beer. Well,
I've got to pitch it over to you. First of all, go fuck yourself, you goddamn New England IPA snob, shitting all over my Stone and Joy by 1031, which I really, really loved. I'm sad I'm out of it now. Actually, I finished my last one the other day. Fuck you.
Hey, man. No, I went to Stone. Yes, I went to three breweries on my trip. Stone is one of them.
Did the wife just not let you go to any others? Is that what happened?
No, I mean, dude, literally, I'm glad that I had to do the three that I did. And yes, two of them were on the list of the 10 breweries in the United States, not in New England, that are doing New England style IPAs. And they were absolutely fantastic at that. But when I went to Stone, the food was fantastic. I feel like that would be perfect for your other podcast there, man, the rest of the rant. Because the food was really good, really off the wall. Nothing that I would expect them to have it like. I mean, it was, they were trying to be more upscale, a little bit different, like quail eggs and shit, like for an appetizer.
Intriguing.
But it was good.
I do enjoy a good quail egg with my Stone.
I'm just saying, I don't know.
Can I have some quail eggs and some Arrogant Bastard, please?
And they're, our waiter at that place, man, he was like totally ripped off out of his mind, dude, like so high. And like, he was cool with us. He forgot to keep coming back. I'm like, dude, I want like a couple beers while I'm here, not just one. He took forever. I only ended up having two beers while I was there.
Jesus.
But I saw him, dude, he literally had a whole order of drinks, and he spilled them all, and his glass broke everywhere. So he was a cool dude. Definitely a San Diego, yo, dude, you know, I'm hanging out at the beach, man, you kind of dude. But it was good. And then literally not even an hour after we landed in Los Angeles, Nick, we went to Monkish Brewing Company. Yep. And oh, God, it was fantastic. But it wasn't until I went to Monterey, which was probably one of my favorite locations on our trip. And I went to Alvarado Street Brewing, and it was brilliant. I actually, like I told you via text, that I stowed away a few of their cans. I bought a 4-pack of cans, and I stowed a few away in my luggage. That's about all I came home with. But they're, oh my God, it's so good. So it's the vengeful barbarian that I'm saving, I think, for a special occasion. So to stop blabbing about that, they were all fantastic. But what I'm drinking right now, I got a growler of it yesterday and I kicked their keg. No shock here. It's the Aisling Beer Company's Too Soon. Okay. Yes. But it's their triple.
Holy
IPA,
shit. Justin's drinking something from Aisling.
I've never had one of their triples before, and I missed this one when I was on vacation, which I was kind of sad about. But I kicked their keg yesterday with the growler, and man, it's scary. It really is, because it's another juice bomb. It's delicious, but it creeps up on you. Last night when Loisos and I were watching Halloween 4 and 5, I'm sitting there sipping it back. I'm like, I might even do this whole growler, and then like the second glass kicked in the middle of the third glass, and I'm like, oh, dude, I think I'm going to die. But it's delicious. No IBUs, no percentage. It tastes great, Caleb. It tastes great, everyone. If you ever get a chance to drink any Aisling beers, and believe me, next time I see you, Nick, I'm going to bring you some. It's delicious. Actually, funny enough, Nick, craft, what the hell is it called? The Facebook page for all those craft beer people. Craft Brew Critics or whatever they're called. I don't know. It's a page that I cover, that I follow. And they like just randomly posted a picture of my picture of like my Aisling sitting on my kitchen counter today.
Because they were jelly. Critics.
I don't know, man. They posted it. So it's good. But I got to ask you, sir. Yes. The New England beer slob that I am. What do you have guzzling down your gullet this evening, sir? I
feel like you're trying to tuck your dicky into your shirt.
Maybe a little.
By the way, well, I am actually on my second beer since we started recording. The first beer was something that I got just because it's you and just because it's this podcast and just because it's October. I decided to get one praying beyond all prayer that it would be even stomachable, and lamentably it was not. This was Rosemary's Baby. You already have had this, actually. This is the True Rhodes pumpkin beer.
Yes.
Fucking terrible. Jesus Christ, it was so fucking bad.
I didn't even have to try hard. You did it on your own, see?
But I wanted to do it because this is going to be my last episode for horror month. I'm going to be taking a week off next week. Justin's going to have somebody guest host the show? So I moved on from the Rosemary's Baby. I finished that guy, you know, while we were doing all of our pre-roll and everything like that. And now I moved on to, this is called the Adirondack Dirty. And it's a hoppy, unfiltered American pale ale. What they should have called this was hoppy, unfiltered fucking Lysol, because that's what it fucking tastes like. It's horrendous. I mean, it's like you smell it and like all you get is just like this astringent, like lemony, like cleaning product fucking smell from it. Like, I swear to God, I could go dump this on the floor and polish the floor up real good with it or something. It smells terrible. It tastes terrible. So I've got, what do I have left in the fridge? I'm not sure. I'm going to have to check when we go on break here. I have some homebrew in there. I have some of my beer cold as fuck 2.0, and I have some Podfix IPA. Now, the Podfix IPA turned out, I think I was describing it to you a few weeks ago, where it was a little bit too bitter up front, and it was more of like the kind of plant matter bitter than hoppy bitter like you want. And then the beer cold as fuck 2.0 was just way too heavy on the malt factor, because I just took all the grains I had and was like, fuck it, and put them all in. So I mixed them together. It actually tastes pretty good.
I love when you do that. See, that's what I love, when you just throw shit in there in the pot. And that's what comes out. I like when it's a surprise, man.
Yeah. Well, it was certainly a surprise for both of them. But like I said, the two of them blended together, actually not that bad. I actually bought a kit, Justin. I bought a 5-gallon Belgian Trappel kit. It's going to take 3 months from brewing day until I can actually, that's until bottling day. So that's not even another 3.5 months. After I brew it, before I'm going to be able to enjoy that bad boy. But I love the Trappel. I think it's a great style. I've got some liquid yeast. I'm trying some new things with my home brews. I'm trying to kind of liven them up a little bit. Next time I do an IPA, I'm going to try liquid yeast as well. Because dry yeasts, I've read a lot about, and I'm just not getting the distinction that I like. Even though the yeast that I switched to for these most two recent brews was actually pretty clean, and I didn't get that kind of biscuity taste that I usually got out of all my other beers when that you know, that USO5 yeast I was using. So I don't know. Good things, hopefully, in the future, Justin. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to roll into a quick break. We've got so much left to do on this show. You and I have to talk Blade Runner 2049.
That's right.
We have to talk... At least we're probably not going to cover any new trailers and epic previews, but I can't let the opportunity pass without at least talking to Justin a little bit about The Last Jedi. And he said he's got a story about trying to buy his Last Jedi tickets that I know we're all thrilled to hear. And then who knows what other random fun shit's going to happen. So take it away, Justin.
And we will be right back.
This week in epic film history.
I also like the idea of a Saved by the Bell reunion where the cast reunites and does a new episode.
Speaking of fucking bad fucking shit, if you want to just hear me say fuck for 45 minutes straight, make me watch Saved by the Bell and then do a review of it. Because I won't be able to form coherent thoughts because I'll be like just... babbling from the stupidity that I'm watching on the screen and like fuck 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 fuck. I'll be like, I have Tourette's. Why would you bring Saved by the Bell into this? This podcast was a safe place.
Cause I'm Saved by the Bell.
It was a wonderful safe safe beautiful place where I didn't have to think about Saved by the Bell. It's bad enough you mentioned fucking Patrick Swayze a couple weeks ago. You could probably fit your little pee-pee in this because it's got that wide mouth opening for the big jug. So.
My pee-pee.
Yeah. An hour and 10 minutes into the fucking movie before a police officer shows up, there's all these fucking dead bodies, all these missing persons. Nobody's fucking investigating it. Nobody fucking cares. It's the stupidest fucking... Oh my God, it's so bad. It's so bad. And the shitty thing is American Psycho is a really good movie. And it completely completely shits all over everything that was great about that movie. I do not want pumpkin or any of those shitty pumpkin beers. So, Justin, you can keep all of those. And I know
Watch.
I'm going to tell,
Watch who you're calling shitty.
I'm going to tell on you because I know that is not your pumpkin that you're drinking. It belongs to the wife.
The wife doesn't listen to the podcast, so it doesn't really make a difference either way, because she's not going to listen. She'll just... I have a plan to fake it, to make it look like it's still in there, so don't worry
about
it.
You know what you should do? You should do, you know, what you used to do in liquor bottles when you
were doing
kid,
it.
You know,
that's what
fill
I'm
it
doing.
Back up with water that's and what I'm put, doing. The, put the top back and put it in the fridge until
you
can
guess?
Replace it.
How did you guess?
That's, that dude, that's awesome. That makes me really happy.
So, dude.
She's going to... break that fucking bottle over here.
It's possible. I mean, if I'm not alive for next week's podcast, film fans, be aware of the reasoning why pumpkin can cause a riot. It can cause murder.
Welcome back, ladies, gentlemen, zombies, ghosts, goblins,
ghouls, slashers, maniacs, and
really shitty looking werewolves.
Shut up. You shut up.
I enjoyed so much of that film, but God damn it, that fucking wolf looked stupid.
I love The Hound from Hell. You can blame John Landis, honestly, because there's another horror. There's another great horror film of the 80s that was released the same year called The Howling that Joe Dante did, known from Gremlins. And the look of the werewolf in that film is definitely in my top five. I think you'd probably like it more because it's like, you know, biped creature can walk on two legs and it looks like a giant tall werewolf. John Landis just really wanted a Hound from Hell. And Rick Baker, even though he wasn't happy about that idea, he still did it. And I love it. I love the way that it's done. Obviously, it doesn't blink. There's no CGI, so it just looks like a prop for the most part. But I love the look. I love how demonic it looks. And you know what, Nick? I just want to tell you frankly on the show, go fuck yourself. It's
what
way,
a story,
way
Marv.
Better.
Wait.
Hi, doggy.
There you go. Relevance.
Oh my God. But speaking of horror films, Justin.
Yeah.
We're both going for the same awkward segue. You had a chance to check out a brand new horror film in theaters. It was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
I'm so happy I have you as my best friend.
You son of a bitch. Yes. But you tell us a little bit about Happy Death Day? Or as I called it, the Groundhog Day of horror movies.
It is. And let's make no mistake, okay? I'm going to get this right out of the way. This film is self-aware. The end of this movie, and this is not a spoiler, it may be a spoiler, but at the end of this movie, they literally mention Groundhog Day as in, like, you already know that going into this. Edge of Tomorrow did it as well, but, you know, it had been in so long after Groundhog Day when Edge of Tomorrow did it, so people kind of felt like, okay, it makes sense with this. It really makes it a really fun premise and a cool idea for a slasher kind of home invasion styled film. I love slashers. They're my favorites. And to see a slasher getting released during Halloween time, regardless of the premise, makes me excited because they don't ever happen anymore. This film was directed and written by Christopher Landon, who is the youngest son of Michael Landon. Which, you know, Little House on the Prairie. Come on, give me a break. You know who I'm talking about.
Man, we should just cut the theme music in here and just. I don't even remember what it sounds like. It's been too long since I've had.
I did watch his E! True Hollywood Story while I was working like 2 weeks ago, and really great guy. He had a lot to do with some great shows in the 80s. But that all aside, Christopher Landon, who had his hand in a bunch of the Paranormal Activity films, he directed Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. He now decided to do the Groundhog Day of the slashers for Blumhouse, which is basically, they're killing it right now. I'm so happy to see those guys really doing what they're doing. They're keeping the horror genre alive as far as mainstream audiences. And I had a great time with Happy Death Day. The trailer played, I think, a few months ago for the first time I had seen it at Alamo. And I'm like, wow, this looks interesting. This looks fun. And as you said, it looks fucking stupid. Well, you know what, Nick? You look fucking stupid. Okay? Just telling you. It was fun. Okay? You know, basically in this movie, a college student named Tree, this girl who doesn't make the best decisions, she relives the day of her murder over and over and over and over again with unexceptional details and terrifying end until she finally discovers her killer's identity. So basically every single day of her life, she knows she's reliving the same day, much like Groundhog Day, but she knows she's going to be murdered at the end of the day, no matter what she does. So her whole idea is every day she's going to try to prevent this killing from happening in different ways. And it gets creative and it's fun, dude. It pokes fun at itself. It's entertaining. All the performances are, you know, relatively decent and tongue in cheek and to an extent. And I had a great time with this. It was PG-13, unfortunately, being the gore lover that I am. I would actually have to say McG's The Babysitter satisfied me in my gore, my love for lust for gore and blood more than this did. But, you know, again, this takes me back to a time when it felt almost like a late 90s slasher. And I had a lot of fun with it. My daughter, who's 13, she went and saw it with us. She seemed to really enjoy it. She's the target audience for this thing. It is PG-13 during the horror season. And, you know, the kills were great. It had great suspense. It was shot well. The characters all feel real life. And that's the one thing I walked away from with this, is that Jessica Roth, who plays Tree, she's definitely nowhere near young enough to be playing a chick that's like super young in college. She looks like she's in her late 30s, but just saying, you know, she plays it off well and gives a good performance. And like I said, if you're interested in seeing just like a little fun slasher film this Halloween season at the theater, give it a shot. Happy Death Day. It may look stupid to you upon watching the trailer, but I would say my rating would be a 7 out of 10 for this one. It satisfied me. It knows what it is and it does it well. It doesn't pull any punches. It just gives you the kind of like late 90s slasher that we've all come to know and love with the Groundhog Day motif there embodied there. So yes, there it was. Happy Death Day.
In a few minutes, bitch.
Tommy Wiseau would not stop laughing throughout your review. I apologize profusely. He's supposed to be under my watch. I just kind of let him do what he's going to do, Justin. But yeah, it's definitely not a film I'm going to check out, of course, just because I don't have the goddamn time. And if I am going to check anything else out, I don't even know. I don't know. I need to take a break from the theater and wait for Jigsaw, I believe, because then I'm going to have a super packed November and December of seeing 1,000 movies at the theater. But Justin, you did say that there was one film that you wanted to talk about tonight. And why don't we go ahead and jump into that right now in a quick session of epic previews.
In the world of Endicott, New York and Herndon, Virginia, two epic film guys dissect the latest movie trailers in a segment we like to call Epic Previews.
I've seen gods fly. I've seen men build weapons that I couldn't even imagine. I've seen aliens drop from the sky.
Yeah.
But I have never seen anything like this. How much more are you hiding?
Hola. Let's go.
And that's right, Nick. We are going to be talking about a trailer that just hit today on this week's edition of Epic Previews. Yes, another Marvel movie. That's correct. They're going to keep coming. We're going to get like three of these things a year, every year, and I feel like until I die at the age of 40. So, yeah, it's less than 10 years from now, so we'll see what happens. But yes, this is following T'Challa after the death of his father that we got to witness in Civil War. He is now the King of Wakanda, returns home to his isolated, technologically advanced African nation to succeed to the throne and take his rightful place as king. And, you know, we had talked about the first trailer, Nick, if you recall.
We did.
You might not remember. We talked about it. I was not very enthusiastic about it. It just looked like a bunch of... It looked just like, you know, throwing shit at the screen, and you get excited. Rap music track, cool shots, Black Panther jumping on a car again, and you know, I'm gonna give them a little bit more credit this time around, even though this trailer is pretty much on par with the last one. You know, it didn't really give me any kind of idea what this movie's gonna be about, other than the fact that I already know what it's gonna be about. I feel like it's just money shot after money shot after. Look what he can do. Look how cool this looks. I'm still going to see it. This was on my top five of the only anticipated things I have on my list for anything Marvel related coming out, behind the Punisher series, which, yes, after the unfortunate events in Las Vegas are being deterred. They are not. It's not going to be released. They're going to... hide that away for now until a later time when people are less sensitive to the issue. So I have to wait on that. But yes, Black Panther was up there. And I don't know, man. Is it just me or am I just like getting over this whole thing? You tell me.
Shut up! Shut
no!
up!
No! No!
Wrong!
Now shut the fuck up and let me do my
shut
job!
Up! Stop it, you wing! You baiting! Shut up!
Fuck
shut
you,
up!
Marvel. Like, I mean, yeah, Chadwick Boseman was great in Civil War as T'Challa, you know, and it does have a few cool shots in it. But I mean, how many of Marvel's fucking villains are just literally mirror images of the fucking good guy? Like, seriously, you got Michael B. Jordan showing up in this thing as the bad guy, and he's just another Black Panther. What the fuck? Like, how many more Marvel quote-unquote origin movies? I mean, I know he was in Civil War first, but how many more of these fucking movies are we going to get where, I mean, literally, like, the most interesting thing that they can throw at us is just, like, here's the same thing, but the bad guy version. Like, oh, God. I was, like, after the first trailer, like, I wasn't as down on the first trailer as you were, and I'm way further down on this entire film now. I just... No, why is this a thing? Like, I mean, seriously, like, his suit, like, I was really enjoying the trailer up until all of a sudden he suited up into, like, you know,
a slightly different black
purple accented
costume.
Black Panther. Like, It's like the least, and I don't care if this is this way in the fucking comic books, because I don't fucking read the goddamn things. But you know what? What they could at least fucking do in the goddamn movies, if that's the way they are in the comic books, is make them at least visually distinct. Not just make it, I mean, literally, we've had how many fucking Marvel movies now where literally the bad guy is just the same thing as the good guy. I mean, it makes it so uninteresting. You know he's going to get so little fucking screen time. You know it's just going to be another shit-the-pants villain who, you know, even if he gives a great performance, is still just going to be... Whatever. Fuck you.
I don't know, man. You know, for me, I'm still going to see this opening night. I know that I'm going to. But my excitement for this genre, as I've completely discussed on many occasions on the show in the past few months, I'm just starting to get to the point where, like, it's hard for me to get excited. We just got done reviewing a film that's so engrossing. It literally takes you to another world, like Blade Runner 2049, and a movie like Black Panther could possibly do that. There's some beautiful atmospheres here. There's some beautiful environments. It looks like there's some great shots in it, but overall, we know we're going to see the same thing we see in all the rest, and it's a little disappointing for me, at least, because Ryan Coogler's doing this. I love what Coogler did with Michael B. Jordan with Creed. I absolutely adored that movie. It's one of my favorite movies of the past 5 years. And, you know, this just feels like another Marvel movie. And, you know, I think it's just at the point right now for me where comic book movies are just a thing where I'm allowing them to happen. I'm going to view them. I'm going to give them all a fair shot, but it's hard for me to get excited anymore. It really, really, really,
you said it exactly perfectly. I mean, it's another Marvel movie, and that's the only thing I can take away from this trailer. And that's not a positive. I'm sorry, but I mean, like I said, that totally killed literally any excitement I possibly could have had for this thing. Like, you could not make him like have like his own kind of cool visual distinction, like his own cool visual look. Instead, he's just, I mean, literally his costume looks exactly the fucking same, except for it's got a little purple on it. What the fuck, you?
I mean, we're being nitpicky, but at the same time, whatever.
But this Marvel 101, it's every fucking Marvel movie. People wonder why I won't go see these fucking things, and this is why. They're so uninspired. They're so lifeless. I don't fucking care how good Bozeman is as the character. I don't even want to fucking see this shit now. Fuck you. Fuck you, Marvel. I haven't played the Knicks Rants theme in so long, and I had to pull it out just for this fucking trick. Go fuck yourselves.
You know, rightly so. And you know, it's funny because this trailer was released this morning, Nick, and unlike any other Marvel trailer, there was very little buzz online about this. There was actually almost no buzz about it, which is unfortunate because this is a character, for me at least, that I really wanted to shine in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And unfortunately, it seems like, you know, it's just so saturated. Like, we get these things constantly, yep, to the point where, like, people are just kind of like, eh, okay, another one. You know, like, the idea of a Black Panther movie hitting cinemas is exciting 5 years ago, but now every single character is getting a huge cinematic outing. So it is what it is. I'll still see it opening night. I'm hoping for the best, but there it is. That's the end of Epic Previews. Nothing else major hit this week. And no, I am not going to bore you guys. I know that Nick already talked about the Last Jedi trailer last week, so I'm not even going to mention my thoughts. We have a lot of time before we get to the actual film. But I did have my trouble getting my tickets to see
that. Oh, yeah. You did promise us this story. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have to thank Loy Sauce for working at an Alamo Draft House.
Oh, Loy Sauce works there, right?
Yeah, well, he's the big man on campus, so to speak. But because I was in L.A., like at a theater, right? And I'm literally going to see Blade Runner 2049, and I'm waiting in line to like pick up my tickets. I already pre-ordered to see it. It's Dolby Cinema. And I'm like, wait, why is there so many people here? There's like 100 people here. Like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, shit, Star Wars. So I worked this out was I could not sit in the virtual line because I knew I was going to see Blade Runner. I didn't want to like sit on my phone forever and like wait around. Yeah. So I bought tickets to this uber expensive fan event that Alamo's doing. The tickets were $25 a pop. You get an early screening. I'll actually be seeing it before anyone else. It's a 6 o'clock showing at Alamo Drafthouse, my favorite theater A with Dolby Atmos. And what I'm paying extra for is a 15 minutes behind the scenes thing with Rian Johnson and trading cards, Nick. Trading cards.
You pipe up, sure, you piece of shit.
I'm sure those trading cards will include the porgs.
God
damn
it.
Your new favorite animal. Your new favorite animal. So, yeah, that's my story. I mean, like, I thought I wasn't going to get tickets, but yes, I spent almost, ladies and gentlemen, $100 on the tickets for my family and I to see The Last Jedi.
Oh, in cinemas opening night. For you.
No, it's not. I didn't want it that way. That was the option I had. So I'm like, sure, fan event, I guess that's what I kind of have to do. I'm sure it'll be cool and everything, but I mean, I would have just much preferred like the normal showing. So,
well, at least we'll both be seeing it opening day, and I'm sure you're gonna text me and you'll be like, come on, you gotta give me something, and I'll blue ball you like I always love to do. And then, I don't know, we'll see. The second trailer definitely did, you know, pique my interest and get me way more excited.
I would hope so.
Than that first trailer did. So, you know, a much, much, much better trailer the second time out, I thought, for that. But in the meantime, Justin, that's it. And it's my turn to take a little bit of a break. I'm going to take a week off next week. I've just got so much other stuff to do. I'll still have to edit the show, so I won't get to take, like, a ton of time off. But, you know, Justin's going to have a co-host who is ... No one knows, because we were looking for one co-host specifically, but unfortunately it does not look like that's going to come through. So I am going to put the word out to our brothers in the Podfix Network, see if anybody would love to step up and, you know, be on an episode of the Epic Film Guys with Justin. Sans soundboard, no soundboard, so you won't get to hear gems like,
I sucked a dick last night.
As much as we all love, I had Dina on the floor every time I played that one. She loved it. She kept laughing.
I'm glad someone enjoys it. For real. I'm really glad someone
enjoys it. And she would ask if it was the same dick or if it was a different dick or whatever. I downloaded this one for JD last week.
Don't say fuck!
It was great. I told him this is what it's like whenever I go on his show. But yeah, I've got so much other stuff to do. I'm just gonna, you know, take a week off, and you know, it's the wrap out to the horror season. There's nothing else coming out in theaters that I'm gonna see, so I'd rather let Justin get a horror guru in here, get somebody in here who just loves horror films as much as he does, and then just gush and just close out this October, this horror season, with a bang. Because I know, you know, yeah, if Justin loves nothing else, he loves to bang.
I sucked a with dick his last mouth. Night.
Just like that. That's how we do it.
Party all the time. Party all the time. Party all the time.
But yes, ladies and gentlemen, before we roll out on the show tonight, I just want to give a huge, huge shout out to the Sunshine and Power Cuts podcast, which is a podcast I found. They're part of the Lady Pod Squad over on Twitter. It's this fantastic little show, and it makes me like feel like really cool and like really positive. It's all this about like positive energy and being, you know, like connecting with nature and stuff. It's really, really cool. Really, really bite-sized.
Sounds like a pagan podcast.
No, it's not a pagan podcast, but I wanted to give her a huge shout out. It's a lady in New Zealand, Heather, that runs the show. Fantastic. And just a couple of guys that messaged us over on Twitter, the Pop Vultures podcast, messaged us and said, you know, they were huge fans of the show. They were just checking it out for the first time. So thank you very much, guys. Huge shout out back to you. Thank you very much. We definitely appreciate it. We appreciate all the love, all of the shout outs that we get from everybody out there and all of our listeners, because you guys are fucking amazing. Even that one guy, you know who you are. Mm-hmm. Yep. Probably drinks fucking Lysol beer every day.
I'm telling you right now, when I come up for Christmas, maybe possibly Thanksgiving, no, I'm not going to bring you Aslan beer. No, I'm not going to bring you anything special I've been saving for you for months. I'm just going to buy you a can of Lysol.
Just stop at the gas station. Give me a can of fucking Lysol, and I'll just I'll just puncture a hole in the bottom of it, shotgun the whole thing, and die, because that's what I feel like would happen if I fucking drank the rest of that fucking beer, because Jesus Christ, is it terrible. But yes, Justin, have a good week next week with whomever we end up finding to co-host the show. I know you'll rock out the horror season with a bang, talk about some horror classics, and get your horror boner harder than it's ever been before. Evil Justin's going to laugh at us for a moment. That's okay. But before we roll out in the show, if you've never listened to the show before, first of all, thank you for making it this far and not, you know, disconnecting or, you know, unsubscribing immediately, throwing your phone across the room, performing some kind of dance to try to make yourself forget everything that you just heard. We don't give a fuck on this show. Fuck you, Marvel. Go fuck yourselves. God damn it. That trailer pissed me off.
I don't think that you'll ever be able to come back from your initial. You're already at that point, Nick. I don't know what could come back and make you like, oh my God, I'm back on Team Marvel.
Hey, you know what? Nothing for nothing, but I am going to see Thor Ragnarok. I haven't seen the last couple of Marvel films, but I am going to see Thor Ragnarok. It opens in, what, a couple of weeks now. And I am looking forward to it just because I love the comedic aspect they're going for with it. I love Hemsworth. I love.
Dude, Goldblum's in it. Yeah. Give me a break.
I love Hiddleston. And I love Goldblum. I love the Hulk.
Funny little story. I mean, I'll make
you
it
touch Jeff Goldblum's penis.
I wish that I did. No, but when I was in LA, we met one of Danielle's high school friends that she hadn't seen in a long time. He had just moved out to LA not that long ago. And one of his first things that he did is he went out to Beverly Hills when he moved there, and he was waiting outside of a random club. And who was waiting outside of that club trying to get into that club was Jeff Goldblum, and no one noticed him. People were walking down the street, you know, like millennial girls in their high heels and their short skirts and their big booties. And people were just walking by, not even realizing that, yes, Jeff Goldblum was standing there. And he had said to me, like he said, well, I walked up to him and said, Mr. Goldblum, can I get a picture and just shake your hand? And Goldblum was fantastic. And I'm like, damn it. Why didn't I meet anyone as good as Jeff Goldblum when I was in Hollywood? God damn it. Son of a bitch.
You didn't even get to meet Dustin Diamond while you were out there. And that would have been a dream come true for you.
He's in prison for sticking a shank in someone's back, I'm sure.
You probably could have gone and, you know, had a little visit with him. I'm sure nobody goes to see him ever. Ever.
I had to go visit him in prison. We're going to do our own podcast. I'm quitting this podcast to do the Dustin Diamond podcast as soon as he gets
out. Dustin Diamond prison podcast. It'll just be Screech's stories from inside the slammer. Screech's slammer stories. There you go. Get that alliteration in there. But yes, thank you everybody so very much for listening. Please check us out all over the web, your podcatchers of choice, social media, and again, we're flipping all of our sponsorship over to Patreon, so you can get a dedicated RSS feed to listen to all of our exclusive episodes. There is an uncut version of every single episode that includes a nice long pre-roll and a classic Epic Film Guys outro that you'll only get to hear if you're a patron of the show, plus other amazing bonus content, spotlights, other things that are going to be coming soon. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I, of course, have been that guy that pushes buttons on the side. I'm a button-pushing monkey. That's what I told Nina. I'm just a button-pushing monkey. This is all I'm here for.
Please talk to me, please.
Okay, Tommy, I'll talk to you. I have been one of your hosts. My name, of course, is Nick.
My name is Justin, and my girl wants to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time.
Anyway, yeah. How is your sex life?
Fantastic.
Thank you all very, very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. And
we'll see you at the movies.
What a story, Mark.
This was a podcast from the Podfix Network. You can check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.
And, you know, it's just this whole cool mystery plot. Motherfucker. Because I've been trying
It's that Lysol.
Slam my way through this beer, and it's so fucking just. I can't do it. I'm getting rid of it. Nope. Here. Yep. Dumping that shit out. I can't. I literally cannot drink any more of it.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You heard him pour that shit out. That's the first time ever on the Epic Film Guys podcast. I've never poured out beer on the show. I've just chugged it back. But he tried, and he could not get through it. So
I challenge anyone to drink Adirondack dirty. Dry yeast is just not really it. You know what I mean? And that was fucking Lysol coming back in your ears. I hope that smelled
good. I can taste that. I can smell that scent of my grandmother using Lysol to clean the... God. No.
Lysol, man. Fucking Lysol.
Lysol. From now on, I'm not even going to bring
you any. That was the Lysol beer right there. And that's what he does in the whole... That was the whole movie right there. That's one of the twists right there.
That's Lysol. Lysol. Ooh,
fucking
Lysol
disgusting. Lysol. And fucking Lysol, man.
You and your Lysol.